Any natural source of heat like that would have sent out a thermal bloom that would have scoured the alley I was standing in, leaving it blackened and sere. But the alley was littered with the usual city detritus, where it wasn't choked with rubble, and several hours' worth of snow had piled up there as well. "Talk to me," Murphy said quietly. "No normal fire is this contained," I said. "What do you mean?" I gestured vaguely with my hands. "Fire generated with magic is still fire, Murph. I mean, sure, you can call up tremendous heat and energy, but once it gets to you, it behaves like heat. It still does business with the laws of thermodynamics." "So we're talking mojo," Murphy said. "Well, technically mojo isn't," she sighed. "Are we dealing with magic or not?" As if the scent of hellfire weren't enough to give it away. "Yeah." Murphy nodded. "You call up fire all the time," she said. "I've seen it do a lot of things that didn't look like normal fire." "Well, sure," I said, holding my hand over the surface of the flame-bored bricks. They were still warm. "But if you want to control it once you call it up, it takes additional energy to focus the fire into a desired course. Controlling the energy is usually as much effort as the fire itself, if not more." "Could you do something like this?" she asked, gesturing at the building. Once upon a time, she would have inflected that question a whole lot differently, and I'd have gotten nervous about whether the hands in her pockets were holding a gun and handcuffs. But that had been a long time ago. Of course, back then, I probably wouldn't have given her a straight answer either, like I would now. "Not a chance in hell," I said quietly, and not entirely metaphorically. "I'm pretty sure I couldn't call up this much energy in the first place, and even if I could, I wouldn't have anything left to control it with." I closed my eyes for a moment, trying to feel any lingering traces of power around the area, but the destruction and subsequent drift of dust and snow and smoke had obscured any coherent patterns that might have given me hints about how the working had been accomplished. I did, however, notice something else. The surface of the cut was not perpendicular to the wall of the building. It went in at an angle. I frowned and squinted back behind me, trying to line it up with the wall of the building on the other side of the alley. Murphy knew me well enough to see I'd noticed something, and I knew her well enough to see her sudden interest make furrows between her eyebrows as she forced herself to be quiet and let me work. I got up and went to the far side of the alley. A light coating of snow and dust had coated the wall. "Watch your eyes," I murmured, squinting my own to slits. Then I raised my right hand, calling up my will, and murmured, "Ventus reductus." The wind I called up wasn't the usual burst I commonly used. It was far more toned down than that, and it poured steadily from my outstretched hand. All the work I was doing with Molly had allowed me to rethink a lot of my basic evocations, the fast and dirty magic that wizards used in desperate and violent situations. I had been trying to teach the spell to Molly, but she didn't have the raw strength I had, and would have practically knocked her unconscious to call up a heavy blast of air. I had modified my teaching just to get her comfortable with using a bit of air magic, and we'd accidentally developed a passable impersonation of an electric blow dryer. I used the dryer spell to gently brush away dust and snow from the wall. It took me about a minute and a half, and when I was finished, I caught another scent under the brimstone stench and said, "Double crap."